Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3 and 22 through 23. His faithfulness. That means his dedication. Woo! It's constantly. It's consistent. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Great is his faithfulness. Father God, we come thanking you today. Thanking you for this opportunity that you have given us where we can look to the hills from where our help comes from. Because we know that it comes from you. There's nothing that we have done or nothing that we could have done that would cause you to be so grateful and so merciful as you are today. As you are in our lives, oh God, we thank you for Jesus. If it had not been for him, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a voice. We wouldn't have a platform. We would have nothing. We would have perished. Yes. If it had not been for your son, whom you allowed to go to that old rugged cross, when he chose to stay there. He could have came down, but he chose to be obedient to you, oh God. Oh, Master, we are just grateful. That same obedience, oh God. Master, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you show us how to be obedient to your will, to your way, not to nothing or anything that we do or we say, but to you, oh God, your will in our lives, oh God. And then that's the only way, oh God, that we will have victory when we walk in your will and in your way. And we will be careful. We're going to give you praise because it all goes to you in Jesus' mighty name. It all goes to you, Lord. You are so deserving to receive praise, to receive glory. Master, we know that there's a lot of things that are going on, and we're seeing it, and we don't understand. We guess, and we're trying to figure it out, but we know that you are in control. Oh, yeah. You know all about Israel. You know all about Sarah. You know all about Abraham. You created them, oh God. You know all about this world. Master, we just lean and depend on you and put all our trust in you and not in man, but in you, oh God. Show us, oh God. Show us. Show us your great and mighty power, oh God. Hallelujah. Show us, God. Many of us need to know. Many of us need to see who you really are. Show us, God. Let us see you. Let us see that light shining in a dark place. Let us witness that soft voice that comes. It's a whisper. Let us witness the touch of the Spirit of God. How the Holy Spirit can come and control, and it can do whatever it chooses to do. Oh, God. Let us see. Let us see. Let us experience it, oh, God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus. that our hearts will be receptive, that our ears will be open, that our eyes, the spiritual eyes, oh God, can come forth in the name of Jesus. We will be careful to give you praise. We will give you honor in Jesus' holy name. We say amen, amen, and amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yeah, we know he knows everything. Glory. He knows it. He done wrote this book. He done wrote it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things are winding up. The book is coming to an end. And we who are in Christ need to make sure that our houses are in order. We need to make sure our house is in order. Hello? I ain't talking about the other person's house. I'm talking about our house. Yeah. Because so many times our house is out of order. And we looking over here. And we pointing over here. And we got a lot of things that's not straight, that's not finished, that's wretched and undone. Yes, yes. So we're talking tonight about holding on, releasing to find freedom. Mm-hmm. To find it. We need to find that. And we see that when we don't have it, it's because many times we stuck. Yeah, we are stuck. Mm-hmm. In our understanding of who God is, we see that he teaches us about how he parted the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. How he told Pharaoh to let the people go. And when he told him that, it wasn't just one time that he told him that. He told him that many times. And you think about it. How many times do God have to tell you something? How many times do he tell you, I done told you this. I'm telling you. I'm coming back. I'm telling you. How many warnings were sent out to Pharaoh to let the people go? Some of the warnings were like the frogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were like the death angel. Yeah, the frogs. And because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, he would not listen to what the Lord had to say. He wasn't going to listen. Why? Because he was stubborn. And he wanted everything to be his way. And that he was the God. Think about it. Mm-hmm. That there was no other God. It was him. Even though our God was saying, let go. Then after Pharaoh did listen, after all the punishment, the death, the blood going all through the land, darkness. Think about it. Pharaoh finally gave up when all the children had died and death came into his own house. Then it was like a light bulb went off. So he began to realize this is real. This is real. Uh-huh. Yeah, think about that. Pharaoh wanted to do everything his own way. So in the desert, in the wilderness, they begin to feel, the children of Israel, they begin to feel that God had left them. God had left them. Mm-hmm. Moses had brought them out to some strange place. and had left them. That the God Moses was talking about was not there anymore. That's what they begin to feel. Isn't it so easy how our mind can really, really, really play tricks on us? So after we get that thought, then we take and pass that thought to somebody else, and then we pass it on to another person, and before you know it, you have a multitude of people all believing the same, what? Lie. That the enemy has come into the camp, and really he distributed, he issued it out. And what we do, we grab it, we receive the enemy's gifts. So here we see that they begin to feel doubt about God and Moses. And then they begin to desire, they begin to have this feeling of, we need to go back. We need to go back. We want to go back to what we was used to. We want to go back to what we was familiar with. We want to go back to some of the safetiness, even though it was hard, but it's harder out here. Wanting to go back. Because that's what had happened. It was stuck. Yeah, they wanted to go back. So here what we see is, in this particular story, since they begin to disbelieve God, disbelieve Moses, the children of Israel were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. Stuck. Can you imagine just going around in circles? Well, some of us have probably been going around in circles for years. Going around in circles, 40 years, stuck. Disbelief, unbelief, no trust, nothing really to hold on to that was concrete. All along, Moses was trying to introduce to you, to them his God. But they still held on to how things were before, the desire to go back. So today, I want to address why we as believers don't mind staying stuck in situations. Stuck. What is it? Many of us who know God is calling us, and we know he's calling us. He's calling us out of certain situations, but we choose to stay stuck. We choose to stay here. So who benefits from you being stuck there? Who can actually receive anything from being stuck? And mainly, who's to blame? Who's to blame? You know, we're a world of people who like to point their fingers and blame somebody. So who's to blame here? Well, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 through 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Can't do that. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Are you listening to what I'm saying? His own. Help me, somebody. Help me here. To be lured in is to be tempted. To do something, to go somewhere. Especially by offering some form of, some form of a reward. That's what we'd be looking for, a reward. To be enticed. to be attracted to. The main word that I like is to be seduced. And this is what we see so often, to be seduced by an evil spirit, an evil presence, which comes to influence you directly to, it comes directly to the believer, with the intention of drawing him or her into a compromising, sinful behavior contrary to the direction of God. Simple. That's what the seducing spirit does. That's his main focus, the believer. Anybody else, he don't need to do that to, because you, he already have you doing whatever he wants you. But the believer who states that they are in Christ, he comes to you to seduce you. And we see this. We see it so often in the church, that someone has been seduced. We see young girls who have become pregnant. We see a lot of stuff. We wind up hearing that some lady is having an affair in church with one of the other elders of the church or something. All kind of things are going on. This spirit is powerful and it is moving. So who and what we should be about. We should be about understanding the spiritual side of our lives and not just always focusing on things that are physical. Think about that. Let's just list a couple of the seducing spirits. Sexual sins, holding on to someone or something who God has told you to release, just holding on to it, goes into a state of rebellious spirit, not willing to receive any godly counsel. Do we see this? Yes. It's highly present, highly present. These three spirits can and will lead anyone stuck. You will be stuck. And with these spirits, you will be stuck for a long time. Why? How? Well, usually once Satan has used a person, yeah, that's what he does. He uses you. He uses you up. Then he or she is of no use to him. And now, he leaves you, and you're lost. You're wondering. You're feeling left behind. You're stuck. This is what's happening. You're stuck. You feel a sense of no direction. Huh? I call it playing Russian roulette. He played Russian roulette with the enemy. You feel stuck. So here we see that it is extraordinary. It's so important that you step out of the Mari. The Mari that's holding you in there, it's like a Mari clay that when you pick your feet up, your feet have this pressure that's holding you down. Pick it up one step at a time. One step at a time. 2 Timothy 1 and 5 reminds us that have I not commanded you to be strong and to be courageous? Do not be frightened. And definitely do not be dismayed. So you listen to what I'm saying. Don't be dismayed. What I mean by that when I say don't be dismayed, don't be shocked, don't be surprised, but be ye ready to step up high. When the word comes, move. Yes. This is what we see that has happened in so many times in the body of Christ. When we were under the law, and there was a time when the law was good for us, and the law was designed to help us, but some of us took the law into another phase, and our Heavenly Father had to come with Jesus to take away the law and to grant us grace. But some of us didn't want to move when it was time to move. Some of us are still under the law. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has tried many times to bring us into grace. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he shedded the blood. It was for grace. Grace to enter. For us to learn how to love one another. For us to learn how to be concerned about one another. Not having all those rules and laws that none of us could ever fulfill. None of us could ever do. We would all fall all the time. But through grace and favor. Glory be to God. That's why we're here. Yeah. So yes, while in the stuck place, he was there with us. Jesus was there. He was there. You remember he said he'd never leave us. So this means while we're not listening, and many times we're not listening to him. We're doing our own thing. We want to do what we want to do. He's still waiting on us. Isn't that something? So if you've been stuck in a place for some time, it is time today to get free. Wherever you hear this message, wherever you are, whatever time you hear it, next week, next month, whenever the Lord presents it to you, it's time for you to get free. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Galatians 5:1, it clearly states, for freedom in Christ has set us free. Listen to this carefully. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Glory be to God. Do I need to say that again? When freedom comes, and it comes through Christ Jesus, it says for us to stand firm. What stand firm mean? Don't move. Stand still. If it's necessary to be at attention, do so. But do not submit. Do not give in. Do not be lured in. Do not be subjected in to the yoke of slavery. See, when you're in sin, you're a slave to it. You're a slave to sin. You've seen people that when they could be dying and they're dying and they may have cancer or some kind of disease and they're still smoking and you're trying to figure out how come they can't stop, and you know you're trying to get them to understand. They become a slave to whatever it is. They become a slave to that. This is all they know. This is all they see. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's saying here, Galatians 5:1, that we should not allow the yoke of slavery of any kind to entrap us again. Being stuck. There is a way out, and the way out is through Jesus Christ Are you listening to what I'm saying? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's all in him. Mm-hmm. So listen to me. Remember, whoever you are in Christ. So there's no need to go back once you've been freed. See, that's what the children of Israel didn't understand. You have been set free. There's no need to look back. There's no need to go back to that yoke. God has set you free. Walk in it. Even if you feel stuck, even if you feel you're still in that mire, you hear me? Hold those legs up and walk high. Walk out. Walk out of there. Mm-hmm. When we are stuck or feel stuck or distanced from God, learn to say this. Surely, surely the Lord is near. Surely, the Lord is in this place. Did you hear what I said? Learn to say that. Surely, the Lord is here. And when you say surely, you're letting all the enemy, his imps, they hear you. They know what you're saying. Surely, the Lord is in this place. Surely, the Lord is here. Surely. And when you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you begin to meditate on it, and you begin to say it in your sleep, your spirit is saying, surely, something got to happen. Something got to happen. Did you hear what I said? Something has to happen. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely he's here. Surely the Lord is here. Yes. Yes, surely the Lord is here. This is what we're supposed to be about. Getting free and staying free and helping someone else out of the mire, out of the muck, out of the mire. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this word. Let this word, oh God, penetrate in the hearts and mind, oh God, of your people. We ask you now in the name of Jesus that this word will do just what it has been designed to do, and that is to set the believer free. In Jesus' name we pray. We look forward to having you on tomorrow morning for prayer. Yeah, prayer is the key. Faith unlocks the door. Prayer with God Favored Ministries for 10 o'clock at this same number. Prayer tomorrow. And on Saturday evening with Just Us Ministries with Evangelist Sadie and the children, and back with us on Friday next week. Remember, God is good, and he's good all the time. It's just that we have to look closely to see the goodness of God. We have to open up our eyes and see the goodness of God. Amen.